So just curious, how many of you would like to experience a little more peace in your life? Raise your hands. Okay. Some of you are good, apparently. I don't know about that. Man, I had a moment recently. I've had a number of moments recently where I found myself saying this prayer. God, I just need a break. I just need a break, God. But then the second thought occurs to me as I'm praying that. I don't even know how I'm supposed to do that. I mean, is it even possible to take a break, especially a mental break? Don't we have to be on continuously? Isn't that the requirement now these days? Isn't the expectation to be connected at all times? Aren't I supposed to have my phone on my person from sunup to sundown, ready to respond at a moment's notice? I mean, that is sort of the expectation, is it not? And I believe these are real questions all of us in this room, to one degree or another, are wrestling with these days. And some of the consequences of our inability to take a break, a mental break especially, are causing us to spiral into a mental exhaustion humans have never experienced before. Health organizations and counselors around the country and around the world are observing a very concerning trend. People are mentally exhausted from being perpetually connected. An organization called Televero reports an increasing number of patients that they have who feel anxious, scattered, and worn out without even realizing that constant digital stimulation is a big part of the problem. I mean, think about it. We live with our phones glued to us. If you don't have your glue, or it's your glue, your phone. I don't even know what that means. So let me go back. If you don't have a phone on you right now, you are like an alien in this country, in this city, right? If you don't have that thing glued to you, your notifications pinging, which some of you, I heard it during worship, work emails popping up at 10 p.m., texts coming in all hours of the night, news feeds endlessly scrolling, our poor brains never get a moment of quiet anymore. As the folks of Televero note, the human mind wasn't designed for 24/7 stimulation and interruption. I mean, maybe you've experienced this before. I've found myself doing this. You're relaxing on the couch, right? But simultaneously, you're watching a show on TV and doing what?
On your phone.
Scrolling through your phone, watching TV while I watch my phone. And yet somehow, after about an hour, probably more, of doing this, let me ask, do you really feel rested? I mean, if it's anything like my experience, my mind is racing even faster as a result of that. And that's because what we often call and are looking for in relief is not the same as real rest. Zoning out on social media, binge watching a show, or mindlessly playing another level of Candy Crush is like putting a Band-Aid on a leaking dam, right? It might dull the pain or distract you for a moment. And hey, look, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with watching a great TV show or playing some game on your phone. That's not where I'm going here. But when it's constant, can we just all admit that it doesn't actually restore our energy or bring peace to our minds in a lasting way? And that's because if you're a note taker, you can write this down. Your mind doesn't just need relief. It needs rest. And those are different things. There's a big difference, right? Relief is about momentary escape. It's about escaping that moment. And sometimes we need that, right? We just need to go, gosh, I just need a second to catch my breath. But rest is about replenishment. It's not about escape. It's about replenishing what has been lost. Relief will help you cope right now, but true rest will heal you for tomorrow. So our minds are begging not just for a 5-minute break scrolling Instagram, but for genuine downtime. Not just as I see it sociologically, but also psychologically and biblically. The kind where you step away from the noise and you let your mind and your soul have some space to breathe. Now, here's the really good news. You're going to love this. God understands this about us. Jesus, he made this incredible invitation straight to our exhausted 21st century brains 2,000 plus years ago because he knows you. And so if you want to follow along, you can do so on the YouVersion app. And we're going to jump into Matthew chapter 11 real quick. We come back to this passage periodically here. It is probably the passage that I hold most tightly to these days. And many of you, if you've been around for a while, you know this passage. If not, if you've never heard these words before, I want you to listen intently this morning. Because your mind and your soul and your heart and your body is longing for the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." I just want to read verse 28 one more time. Can we go back to that slide? "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I want you to notice he's not offering a quick fix. He's not offering relief. He's offering a kind of rest for your mind, soul, and body that you cannot find anywhere else in this world. It's the deepest kind of rest that your soul is longing for, the kind that you truly need. I love how the Message paraphrases Jesus' words. It says, "Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly." I mean, what a contrast to our frantic rhythm of continuous hustle and connection. Jesus offers this rhythm of grace, an unforced pace where we can slow down and sync our lives with him. It's as if he's saying, step out of the rat race for a moment, put the phone down, turn the TV off, and trust me, I will show you how to breathe again. And not just in your lungs, but in your heart, mind, and soul. I want you to think about the context of Matthew chapter 11, and some of you may not be aware of this, but Jesus lived in a culture that prized hard work and religious duty. People were worn out from trying to follow hundreds, more than 600 rules. On top of all of their other daily struggles with the government they were facing, with the poverty that many of them were facing, and into that, Jesus says to them, "Come to me and I will give you rest." It's this invitation to trust, to let go of this frantic effort that we have, searching desperately for relief in all of the wrong places, and instead to find peace in the grace of Jesus Christ. And it applies today just as much, if not more, than when Jesus first uttered those words. I mean, he might as well be screaming, "You with the smartphone, come to me. You with the calendar that looks like a game of Tetris, come to me. You who can't fall asleep because your brain won't stop racing, come to me. I will give you rest." Not just for your body, but for your minds as well. Because your mind doesn't just need relief, it needs rest. Now, I know some of the pushback on this might be, "Well, that sounds great, Pastor, but I've got deadlines. If you only knew what I have coming up this week, it's not like I can just take a personal retreat whenever I want. And by the way, I can't either. And so to be clear, what we're talking about here, rest doesn't always mean a week in the mountains, though if you can do that, great. Sometimes it's about these small rhythms of rest that we build into our daily life. Even a short moment of turning our attention to God can become a mini Sabbath for the mind. It could be as simple as closing your eyes midday and breathing a prayer, Lord, I trust you. Help me rest in you right now. I've actually found this great little app, which I know is ironic, okay, but it's very helpful. And it's called Lectio 365, and they offer a devotional that you can listen to, you could read, and it's morning, midday, and night. And they're no longer than 10 minutes long. And every day at about noon or sometime, most days I should say, I just stop and I listen to a 5-minute just prayer. And I can't tell you the rest that that brings. By the way, I do put my phone down while that happens, okay, just so we're clear. And what I've discovered as I've done research, and even just in my own life, is that when we start to lean into this kind of rest that Jesus offers, there are a few things, or actually a number of things, that are huge benefits to us in enabling us to live out our faith in a more confident manner. And the first thing that can happen for someone when they start to lean into this rest is they experience less stress in their life. Right? Chronic stress, we know, can wreak havoc on our bodies, raising our blood pressure, messing with digestion, weakening immunity. I mean, stress has implications for our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. But here's what we found. Truly resting actually reverses those effects by calming our minds and nervous system. When you take time to unwind mentally, you're literally helping prevent stress-related problems in your body. So if someone asks you, why are you sitting on the porch doing nothing? You can say, I'm preventing disease, thank you very much, okay? Yeah. A second benefit of this is better productivity. It's sort of this weird, ironic thing that by resting, we're actually more productive, but studies have shown time and time again that that is absolutely true. By stepping away from work and constant stimulation, it can make you more productive when you return. Because a tired brain just can't function well. Studies show that after a good break, like a weekend where you actually disconnect, people come back more energized and get more done compared to those who just grind out without resting. A third benefit of taking this sort of mental rest is healing and recovery. Your body and your mind do a lot of maintenance during rest, right? Even a 5-minute break to stretch or breathe can start repairing some of the strain you've been under. I mean, have you ever noticed how problems seem a little bit more manageable when you've had a really good night's sleep or a peaceful walk? One of my favorite parts of the story of the calming of the storm is not when Jesus calms the storm, although that is amazing. My favorite part of that story is that Jesus has taken a nap, exampling to us, you know what? It's okay to take a break. I mean, Jesus was human and divine. We know that, which means that it was exhausting and depleting for Jesus when he went out and performed miracles and he taught and he got yelled at by the religious people. Those were exhausting for him. And so he gets in the back of the boat while the guys are like, what are we going to do? And he's just sawing logs because he needs a break. And isn't it interesting that the only one who had the solution was the one who happened to take a nap? I'm just saying, y'all, go home today, take a nap. I abhor you every day. Good for you, man. Good for you. The fourth benefit is that we have the ability to have sharper decision making. We know that when we are tired, especially mentally depleted, we often make bad decisions. Bad decisions. Mental depletion in our life is fertile ground for the enemy to be crafty. He will enable you to do things you wouldn't dream of simply because you have not taken a break. Regular mental rest breaks actually improve our ability to think clearly and weigh your options wisely, right? So if you have an important decision to make, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is to get a good night's sleep before you make a decision. Now, there's one particular practice that Jesus examples for us, and that over the centuries of church history, so many mothers and fathers of the faith have exampled for us as well, and that is the practice of solitude. Some of you, your hairs on the neck just kind of went, ugh, solitude. Even health professionals are emphasizing the benefits of both solitude and silence for our racing minds. Jesus always seemed to be ahead of the curve with this human thing. I mean, do you ever have silence in your life? Is there ever a moment where the TV is off, the music is stopped, your AirPods are out, your phone is on silent? Because it's in silence that we become aware of what's really going on inside of us. I actually believe, and I believe this because I've experienced it in my own life, that one of the reasons we don't like silence is because we're often afraid of what we might hear. We're often afraid of what we might have to deal with. And yet, likely, those things that we might hear from God, the Holy Spirit, those things that we need to deal with in our life, are the things that are dragging us down and keeping us exhausted in life. It's only in silence that we can become self-aware and build resilience in our faith. Jesus knew the power of solitude. We read in the scriptures that he often withdrew to the wilderness to get alone and be with God in the quiet and in the silence. And if the Son of God needed time to recharge, don't fool yourself. You need it too. Now listen, solitude, you might have some images come to mind. I'm not talking about you sitting in a dark room by yourself necessarily, although sometimes that can be magical if you've ever done it. It can look like a quiet walk through your neighborhood or in the park. A few moments just sitting in quiet in your car before you go into work. A peaceful early morning cup of coffee on the porch with a Bible and a notepad. The key to solitude is minimal input. Giving your mind a chance to just shift downward a little bit from overdrive to idle. And in those moments, you can gently turn your thoughts toward God. And as you do that, you are entering that promise of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, where he gives you rest and you experience the peace of mind that God offers. Ultimately, choosing rest, truly choosing rest, is more than just a good health tip, although it is. It's an act of faith. When we stop working, we stop worrying, we stop striving, we are essentially saying, God, I trust you to take care of what I can't. The world will keep spinning even if I take a nap or have a quiet hour with you. I'm not going to miss anything. The world isn't going to end if I don't check in with my social media accounts. I mean, what if blocking out 15 minutes a day just to go, I just need to get myself a mental break and center your heart and mind on Christ became a non-negotiable for you? What if taking a Sabbath weekly where you set aside some of the tech in your life and the connectivity in your life, a full day of rest became as important as all of those deadlines and all of those meetings that you have on your calendar? Because making these things, silence, solitude, Sabbath, critical components of our lives is where we begin to experience the promise of peace for our minds. So I just want to give you a few starting points with this to help you as you consider what this might look like in your life. And here's my challenge to you. Don't walk out of here and be like, wow, that's a really good idea. Maybe I'll try that. I want you to really try it this week. Because my guess is that there will be moments this week where the Holy Spirit will nudge you and go, why don't you turn the TV off for a second? Or why don't you put the phone down for a minute? Why don't you head out for a walk? And when that happens, I want you to listen and respond. And here's just a few ways that you can start to implement this in your life. One way to do it that's really simple is just to start and end your day with God. Right? Begin your day. When you hit your feet hit the floor, and even before that, but when your eyes open, begin that moment with God. Not grabbing your phone, not rushing out the door, but just a moment. Maybe it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't know, to pray, spend some time reading scripture before your phone hijacks your attention, and then end your day doing the same thing, handing all of the worries that you might have to God. One practice I've incorporated into my life is the first thing I do each morning is I sit in complete silent as it can get in my house with, you know, three people and a puppy, but to sit for 5 minutes and simply meditate on the words of Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, which says, "Be still and know that I am God." Start and end your day with God. Second, take some mental breaks each day. Trust me, you're not going to miss anything. It will be there when you're finished. Step away from work or screens just for a short time. Go for a quick walk, stretch, just sit and breathe. It doesn't matter. And during that break, I encourage you, resist the urge to check the news or to check social media. Instead, quietly pray or listen for God's whisper in your mind. It's like this mini reset for your brain and soul. Third, and I cannot encourage this enough, is to guard some tech-free time. I'm really bad at this. I'll be honest. I'm really bad at this. And I'm working on it with God's help. But maybe at dinner or the last hour before bed, you put the devices away, you turn off the TV, you talk to your family, you journal, you read something uplifting. That detox from the constant input can do wonders for our mental state and our peace. And then lastly, I encourage you to embrace God's creation. There's a whole world out there. Beautiful world. Yeah. I was watching recently this documentary about a guy who's just been released from prison. And as he's walking through his neighborhood that he hasn't seen in almost 30 years, the only thing that he notices are the trees. He can't believe how big the trees are. And I thought, when's the last time I noticed the trees? Like, when is the last time that I really appreciated the creation of God and spent some time actually in it and among it? Being in God's creation has this effect of calming a racing mind and reminding us of our Creator's presence. And lastly, let's remember this. Rest is not a reward for finishing everything. If you're convinced that the only way for you to rest is to finish everything, you will never rest. It will never all be finished. It's a requirement for us to live well, Jesus says. In fact, we may never fully be finished with all of our tasks, but we can still be faithful by resting when it's time. Your mind is this precious gift of God, from God, and He doesn't want to see you running it into the ground. He wants you to be restored. He wants you to have the clarity and the strength that comes from a rested mind and a refreshed soul. So if you are running on empty this morning, know that Jesus has pulled up alongside you, offering a lifeline, saying, "Come to me. I will give you the rest you need." It's both this promise and this action step. Our part is to come, to intentionally carve out space and believe that in doing so, He will replenish us. And so you may find that as you practice resting in God, your heart becomes quieter, your mind becomes clearer, and ironically, you get more done with less frantic effort. And that's the beauty of the unforced rhythms of grace that Jesus offers. So let's choose to trust Him enough to rest. Let's dare to step out of the chaos, even if it's just for a little while each day, and let Jesus restore our minds. Your mind needs more than relief. It needs the real rest that only God can provide. So take Him up on it. He is ready and willing. This week, pause, sit in silence, pray, and let your mind settle at the feet of Jesus, who loves you enough to say, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take a moment to be still and know that he is God. Slow down and embrace his rest. I promise you, your mind and your soul will thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I confess that this is often not an easy thing to practice in our lives. There are all these external pressures to stay connected, to stay informed, to stay up to date, whatever it might be, to not miss anything. And I pray that you would help us see that for what it is. It's a trap. The promises that it makes, it never delivers. The peace that we're looking for and all of that, it never comes. And so I pray, God, that you would help us to look beyond just temporary relief into lasting rest, restoration and replenishment of our minds and our bodies and our souls, that we would be the people that you have called us to be, that we could be a witness in a world who has severely misunderstood you, that we could be loving and gracious and kind to our neighbors, to those we disagree with, to those that are hurting, to those who are suffering, to those who've been cast aside, that we would have a tremendous awareness of your work in the world, that we would be able to make decisions that are done with integrity and held on to the values that you've given us through the scriptures, that we would not succumb to temptation so easily, but God, that we would follow the path that you light before us. We pray for rest for our minds and for our souls. And Lord, as we leave this place this morning, the world is going to compete for our attention in so many ways. I pray in that moment that we would be reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me and I will give you rest. May we rest in you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.